We're doing the Navi Yeshayah. We're up to what's called the 14th chapter, the 3rd Pasuk. The Navi described how Israel will return to the land of Israel. The nations will voluntarily help Israel return to the land. And Israel will have a position of authority, not only autonomy, but also authority over those that had previously persecuted Israel. V'haya b'yom aniach Adonai lecha miotzmecha umirogzecha. And it will be on the day when God will let Israel rest from Israel's sorrow, from Israel's suffering, ומן עבודה הקשה אשר עובד בך, and from the difficult labor that was forced upon Israel, ונשאת המשל הזה על מלך בבל ואמרת, and then you will say the following allegory about the Babylonian king. You will say, Eich shavat noges shaveta madheva. How did it come to be that the one who was persecuting, the one who kept forcing others to do work, how did he cease? How did he come to a pause? How did madheva, the wealth, madheva is the one who owns a lot of gold. Dahav is Aramaic for Zahav. Madheva is the one who is in ownership of much gold. I don't know if you have such a word in English. Person who owns a lot of gold. Goldfinger?
Goldsmith?
Goldsmith?
That's one that makes gold.
Hoarder?
Huh?
Gold hoarder?
Okay, so Madheva is the one that owned a lot of Dahav, a lot of Zahav, a lot of gold. So how did she come to cease? How did that wealth come to an end? Shavar Adonai matei reshaim. The answer is Hashem broke the staff of the wicked, meaning the wicked used the staff to beat Israel. Hashem broke that staff. Shevet Moshelim. Hashem broke the stick of those that ruled over us. Makeh amim bevram. Makat bilti saram. Hashem hits the nations with his anger. Hashem smites them. A continuous hitting that doesn't cease. Makat bilti saram. Makat, a hitting. Bilti saram, without stopping. He beats the nations with his anger. Muldaf bili chasach. And that's why Babylon was chased without holding back. Hashem let him have it. So when the nations had hitherto persecuted us, and now things, the tide has turned, and Hashem beats the nations with his anger, and he continues beating them, and he doesn't cease. Nachashaketa kol haaretz, and when Babylon fell, so peace, tranquility settled on the land. Patzechu rina, and so people broke forth in song now that Babylon is down, because Babylon would persecute everyone and they conquer country after country. So now that the Babylonian Empire crumbled, the world could again be tranquil. Gam beroshim samechu lecha arzei Lebanon. Even the cedar trees, even the tall beroshim trees, they rejoice, they are happy when you fall. Me'az shachavta lo yale hakoreit aleinu. Ever since you, Nebuchadnezzar, were laid to rest, we can rest peacefully, we can know that the axe isn't coming against us. And our sages learned that often in Tanakh, when we speak about tall trees, we're really talking about nobility, aristocracy. That the aristocracy was always concerned that Nebuchadnezzar was on the loose. And now that Nebuchadnezzar was dead, so then all the aristocracy could rest easy. Sheol mitachat ragezal lecha likrat boecha. And here the Navi continues with one of the most memorable metaphors. The Navi describes how when Nebuchadnezzar died, so then down in hell, people started getting worried. They heard Nebuchadnezzar is coming. They figured he's coming to conquer the world down here too. Sheol mitachat, perdition, down below, all the inhabitants of perdition, ragezal lecha likrat boecha, they all trembled when you were coming. As though, even in his death, Nebuchadnezzar sent fear down people's spines. Orer lecha refaim kolatu de aretz. So, again, continuing with the metaphor, he says that perdition wakened the deceased. All the different nobles of the land were awakened in hell. Hekim mikisotam kol malchei goyim. So perdition got all the kings awake and stood them up from their thrones. They're all standing in attendance because you're coming down to perdition. Kulam yano veyomeru eilecha. And when they see you enter, so then they'll all call out, they'll tell you, Gamata chuleita chamonu eileinu nimshalta. They'll turn to you and they'll say, Gee, Nebuchadnezzar, fancy seeing you here. In spite of all the wealth, in spite of all the power, even though you conquered all the different kings, now you're suffering just like us. You're dead just like us. You're going to be here in perdition suffering just like us. Welcome down. Hurat Sheol, Geonecha Him Yat Nevalecha. The Navi says, your pride. Throughout your life, you were so arrogant. Now your arrogance has been taken down to perdition. Now you're like everyone else. Hurad Sheol, it's been taken down to perdition. Geonecha, your arrogance. Himyat Nevalecha, the sound of your harps, that throughout your house you had all this beautiful music playing. That too will go down with you to perdition. Tachtecha Yutza Rima. The ground beneath you, ordinarily you had the finest silk, the finest bedding. Now we're going to make your bed with vermin. Vermin is prepared for your resting place. Umchasecha tole'am. And we'll put a nice blanket over you made of worms. In other words, metaphorically saying, you know, you're used to the finest covers and pillows and sheets. This is what's waiting for you in perdition. Top. Eich. We have to pause for a minute. We have to understand the period when Yeshayahu is talking. Yeshayahu is prophesizing before the Babylonian Empire even attacked Israel. He's prophesizing about a king that hasn't yet ascended to the throne. He's prophesizing about a kingdom that has not yet become a world power. So he's talking about the downfall of a king that's still fighting in a foreign army. Meaning at this point, Nebuchadnezzar is a soldier in the Assyrian army. He's no king. And Yeshayahu is prophesizing about the downfall of the Babylonian Empire. They had this prophecy with them in the exile. And we have to imagine the Jews are walking into exile and they're looking and they see this phenomenal army. An army that took them down, that destroyed the temple, an army that seems to have God on their side. Because, like the Navi described earlier, they're as swift as horses. They come flying, swooping down, and attack and destroy Israel. And yet they know that the Navi has already prophesied about the downfall of this amazing superpower. And all of this before the superpower even began. Eich. What?
It's called Palestinians.
Eich. Nafalta mishamayim. Hillel ben Shachar. How have you fallen from the heavens? Hillel ben Shachar. You Nebuchadnezzar. You were like the morning star. Hillel. Hila is to give light. Hillel, he who gave light, like Ben Shachar, like the morning star. Nigda'ata la'aretz cholesh al goyim. You were cut down to the earth. You who used to draw lots over the nations. What's he talking about? So the simple reading is that Nebuchadnezzar had so many kings in captivity, every day he would draw lots, and a different king would come and act as his servant. That was his game. But our sages had a tradition that Nebuchadnezzar did something else. He'd draw a lot every day, which king he would rape. And he'd rape all the male kings in his ownership, and they based on lots. And that's a way of showing how unimportant all of them were, that he would just draw lots, and that would decide for him. Ve'ata amarta vilvavcha shamayim eleh. You thought that you're ascending to heaven. Mimal lechocheveyeh larim kisi. You thought you will raise your throne above the stars above. Ve'eshev behar moed biyalketei tzafon. You thought you will set your palace out in Mount Zion, the place where Israel meets with God. You thought you would set your capital, Behal Tzafon. The Hal Tzafon is an allusion to Jerusalem. That's what you were thinking. Over here also, there's a discussion among the commentaries why Jerusalem is called Har Tzafon, the northern mountain. Is he talking about Jerusalem? Is he talking about the northern part of the temple? So Nebuchadnezzar thought he'd get away with it. Now, there was an international treaty at the time. There was an international understanding between kings that when a king captured another king, he would give him royal treatment. Because everyone knew that one day they might fall captive in another king's hands. So it was sort of an international understanding that when you caught a foreign king, you gave him royal treatment. That's how everyone behaved. Everyone, that is, except for Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar says, I fear no one. No one's going to capture me. And that's why Nebuchadnezzar would purposely treat the kings this way. And that would send shivers down the spines of every other king because that showed his great confidence. He doesn't have to worry that he'll ever fall into captivity, and that's why he behaved this way to other kings. So the Navi describes, Nebuchadnezzar thought he was going up to the heavens. E'ele albamote av. Nebuchadnezzar said, I don't belong among men. I should be living on a cloud. Edame le'elyon. Nebuchadnezzar said, I should be like God. I shouldn't be living among mere mortals. Ach el sheol tuad el yalketevo. But the Navi tells him, no, that's not what God has in mind for you. You will be taken down to perdition. You'll be taken to the bottom of the pit. Those who see you in perdition will stop and look at you. They'll stare at you and say, is that the man who persecuted everyone in the world? Is that the man who shook the earth? Nebuchadnezzar made great turmoil in the world. Marish mamlachot. That when he was alive, he would attack, he would bring down whole kingdoms. Is that the man? We'll pick up here, Be'ezrat Hashem, next week.